Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Humat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Well, good morning. This actually is hour number three for Dr. Jerry Mixon and me today. Dr. Humat, I think, is going to be able to call in here in a few minutes. She had a busy week at Longevity. Yes, she and all the other doctors and all the staff, the medical assistants, are hard at work Monday through Friday at our three clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland, and for very good reason. There's probably never been a better time. Do you think, Jerry, has there ever been a better time, more opportune time to get serious about your health?
Yeah, I wish I'd have gotten serious about my health when I was about 30.
Well, that's,
you know,
that's true.
But yes, today.
No time like the present.
That's right. Today is a lot better than tomorrow.
Because tomorrow is so easy to say, well, tomorrow.
And you'll be a day older.
Tomorrow.
And you'll be further downhill.
And tomorrow.
That's right.
That's right. So anyway, this is why we're so excited at Longevity. Yes, a few people are rescheduling, pushing it down the road a little ways.
Sure.
On the other hand, there's a lot of people that still want to, for example, our free health analysis appointments. Well, they're still available, and people still want to come in for those. In fact, let's just tell everybody right now, we're doing something we've never done before. First of all, the free health analysis appointment, you get the two free tests, which give you a basic understandings of where you're struggling. What are your basic risks? That's the purpose of it, so that you have a handle on where you are in your aging process. Well, for the first time ever, we're doing something even more. If you make your appointment and come in for your free health analysis appointment, in the month of April, you come in April, we will also give you a $100 gift card toward our longevity supplements. And we have a batch. I mean, we've got, Jerry, we got to count. I keep doing this every Saturday.
How many do we have? I have no idea. Somebody has to
go through and count, whether it's 30 or 55 or whatever the number. We got a lot of supplements that over the years, Jerry has formulated and has them made for us. And so if you want one of those free health analysis appointments, and I think it's in the ballpark of about 15 for each of our three clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland. So there's about 45 or 50 in the month of April.
And we're on what now, the 4th?
That's right. So this is very good. If you come in, and by the way, from a safety point of view, you know, obviously people, they're a little nervous, but what do we do? Explain.
Well, before you get inside, we're going to call you first, and we're going to ask you about your health. We want to find out, have you had any respiratory illness of any kind in the last couple of weeks? And if so, don't come. It's that simple. We don't want you here if you've been sick in the last few weeks.
Even if right now you just have the sniffles.
If you had the sniffles last week, I don't want you here.
That's right.
All right. Now, then, when you do get up to our door, they're going to check your temperature, and they're going to put a mask on you. And then you get to come in, and you get your, you know, you get to work with our staff, and the staff have their masks on. The people that are going to draw your blood.
The staff can't come in either. We
check everybody.
Ultra careful.
And so they, they will all be have their masks and their gloves, and you know, we put you through the process. We tell you all about what we're doing, how we're doing it, why we're doing it. We give you your in-body test, looking at your visceral fat and muscle mass primarily, and we are looking at your A1C, which tells us a lot about your risk of diabetes, heart disease, cognitive decline, etc. And then at the end of that meeting, you get an opportunity, if you want, to get more extensive testing if you decide that you've got enough issues, you want to have them checked out further.
Yeah. So bottom line, again, this is we have a limited number. They're available on a first-come, first-served basis when you go to our website, lmclinic.com. So there's only a limited number, but that's okay if you go there. And again, if you actually come in for your appointment in the month of April, so you got several weeks still here, we will give you a $100 gift card toward any of our longevity supplements. And I think that is a really cool deal. So go to our website, lmclinic.com, and take advantage of that. Now, also, we have one line still open. We've got Alan in Federal Way, Kathy in Burien still. In fact, we're going to take Kathy first. But after you do a little Kathy, you keep hanging on because you'll be first, and then Alan. But let's start off by, Jerry, you explaining the situation about the mask, because quite frankly, most Americans are pretty confused. We've been told two different stories.
Yeah.
Diametrically opposed stories.
And it's evolving.
And yeah, okay, and it's still evolving.
So as of yesterday, they changed it again.
So tell us what the facts are.
Okay. Well, basically there are three levels of respiratory protection. There are the standard surgical masks, which are, you know, they're pretty good, but they stop droplets and so on, and larger bacteria, but they're not virus-proof. Then you've got the N95, and the N95 is called a respirator because it's got filters in it. And the N95 is better at stopping viruses as well as bacteria. And we use that in the hospitals for contagious diseases. Mm-hmm. That protects the doctors, the nurses, the technicians, and everybody that comes in contact with you. And then, of course, we've got the hazmat suits that are a closed positive pressure system that carries its own air supply.
Okay.
But those are for things like Ebola that are fatal 90%+ of the time. The N95 respirator is what our doctors and nurses need, and we don't have enough. And that is the fault of both Democrats and Republicans, by the way. This is not Mr. Trump. It is multiple administrations. Our national, well, first of all, every state is supposed to have their own supply. Every state in the union, the governors are responsible for setting up their own supply of masks and respirators and emergency equipment.
Ventilators.
Yes.
Things like that.
Yes. And in our state level, in 2016, our governor was given a list, and they said, if we were to have a really bad flu pandemic, like the bird flu or something that swept through here, we would need between 400 and 4,000 respirators, and we would need something over 1 million masks in our supply. And our governor bought none of them.
Our present governor?
Our present governor, yes.
Well, he's screaming like a Comanche.
I know. Never mind. I know.
Okay,
the feds aren't giving it to him, but he had the opportunity to buy. He was supposed to have bought somewhere between 400 and 4,000 ventilators, which would about 2,200 would be the midpoint. That would have cost $32 million. But he had other places to put the money. And I thought it was interesting, though. He put $1.1 billion into orcas.
Into what?
Orcas, the whales.
How do you do that?
We taxpayers, but well, we put it into orca studies and orca support groups and public relations.
How much?
$1.1 billion.
Okay.
Yeah. And we, 32 million of that would have bought the ventilators or the respirators for, or the ventilators for, Washington State. Our national supply is supposed to have 100 billion masks in it. 100 billion N95, or sorry, 100 million N95 respirators. It's supposed to be in the federal national supply. During the bird flu epidemic, the Obama-Biden administration distributed all but 12 million of those. And then they never rebuilt it. The law says they have to rebuild it. They didn't. Now, you can jump on Mr. Obama about that, but I'd like to point out that Mr. Trump also had 3.5 years to rebuild it, and he didn't do it either. Okay? So, neither.
Well, Bush didn't either, did he?
Well, yeah, but these were distributed under Mr. Obama. He distributed them, but then he did not rebuild it, and Mr. Trump didn't rebuild it. The problem is government tends to do the thing that is right in front of them. The shiny object of today gets the money.
Yeah, squirrel. Okay.
Yeah, and so so neither administration rebuilt the national, and our state never built theirs up where it was supposed to be. And neither did New York, and neither did Michigan, and neither did Florida, and neither did Texas, and neither none of the states really built up their supply like they were supposed to, and neither did the federal government.
Well, Cuomo,
under Democrats or Republicans.
The state task force on this overall in New York told Cuomo that he needed to buy umpteen thousand
and
of
he
them
didn't.
Back in 2015.
Yes, and he didn't. No state did. Okay? The governors all dropped the ball.
And it is their fundamental first-line responsibility.
That's right.
Not the federal government.
Yes, but the federal government also dropped the ball under both Democrat and Republican administration. So this is not a political. This is not they did this and we should. No, everybody did this. Okay. So we went into this with 12 million masks instead of the 100 million masks we were supposed to have at the federal level and the umpteen million masks, 50 or 60 million masks we were supposed to have at the state levels scattered around, and we got none of them. So we don't have enough masks. That's the real world. And so the problem that we're faced with then is we have to give those masks to the doctors and nurses and technicians that are at highest risk because they're breathing in the faces of coronavirus patients every day of their lives, and they've got to have them first. So I certainly understand if they had come to us and been honest and said, look, the masks are effective.
Yeah.
But you don't need them as bad as these other people do, and so don't use them. I accept that. It's reasonable. What they did, though, is they also lied. They said they won't work for you, but they'll work for the doctors and the nurses.
Okay.
And that makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
You know, if they work for the doctors and the nurses, they work for you, too. And they say, but you might use it wrong. Well, guess what? This is not a high-tech process.
Yeah,
it's a mask. You put it over your nose and your mouth, and you pinch the thing tight across the bridge of your nose, and you cover your nose and mouth. Now, I do admit that while the vast majority of people I see wearing masks are wearing them properly, I did see two teenagers the other day on the Cross Kirkland Trail with their masks on their chin down across their neck and their mouth and their nose totally open. They may as well have worn them on their elbows. Right? So it is possible to do it wrong, because I saw two teenagers doing it wrong. But anybody that with enough brain cells to climb up or down a flight of stairs can put a mask on properly. This, you know, this thing of you don't know how to do it and your American public is too stupid to wear a mask just doesn't fly. It's insulting.
And I have to say, I was really perplexed when we were all told that we didn't need masks.
Yeah.
Only if you were sick, wear a mask.
Yeah. Well, and that is important. If you're sick, you're shedding virus. But 50% of the people that carry the virus don't know they're sick because they feel great. So, you know, that everybody should be wearing the mask. The problem is we just don't have enough masks. And that's no particular politician or party's fault. That's just the whole system screwed up and we were left with not enough. It got worse, of course, when we were exporting our masks. Do you realize when the Wuhan virus was in Wuhan, China, and we didn't have any cases in America, we sent 4,000 ventilators from our federal stockpile to China. So,
come on.
Yeah, we did. We sent 4,000 ventilators to Wuhan to help them with their problem.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, this is so weird. I saw that Dr. Fauci, who is our big-time, incredible lead expert, 5 days before Trump shut down air travel from China, was saying there's nothing to worry about here.
Yeah. Well, and that's because we all got burned. Nobody knew how infectious this was. In fact, the Chinese were first telling the World Health Organization and everyone else that this is a zoonotic disease. You only get it from contact with the bats. And if you're not having contact with bats, you can't get it. And so everybody believed, based on what they were telling us, that this was, people were going to catch it because they were exposed to the wet market in Wuhan. And once those people got over it, that would be the end of it. There would be no epidemic. So they lied. Okay. And they knew. They knew. They knew for 2 months that it was spreading, which is why I say this should be the Chinese Communist Party virus.
Yeah.
The CPC virus. Because the party is responsible.
Okay.
Well, but now, for our masks.
Well, I'll tell you what. For our masks, are you talking about the ones at Longevity?
I'm talking about why people should cover their face.
Okay, well, we've got to take a break because we're well past the quarter hour. And so we'll go to a break right now. And when we come back, we will talk about masks.
And I'll tell you why you should be covering your face and with what.
Excellent. And by the way, when you come in for one of your appointments at Longevity, yes, you get a mask. But we also give you a mask for your spouse and anybody living with you at home, your immediate family. Yes. Not for everyone on your family tree.
Not your children, grandchildren that are grown up and gone.
That's right. But for you and those living with
you. That's just because we don't have enough to do it more than that.
Yeah, but we have plenty to do what we are offering. So that's a good thing. If you want one of those free health analysis appointments, for example, you get a mask and an extra mask or two or three, however many, are in your home. But also, for a free health analysis appointment in April, a $100 gift card toward longevity supplements. I suggest you take one of them. Go to lmclinic.com and make your appointment right now. lmclinic.com. We'll be right back.
Leading Edge Medicine. For the first time in history, you can choose how you age. Call with your question at 1-888-312-5757. That's 1-888-312-5757.
I've been a longevity patient for about 17 years, and I can remember back in the day, I listened many, many, many times before I took the plunge, because at first I went from skeptical to, you know what, I'm going to do it.
Only you can make all this world seem right. Only you can make the dark. Only you and you alone can thrill me like you do and fill my heart with love, for only you.
Only you. 23 minutes past the hour. Pete Talbot here. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Today I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon with me again, and we've been talking about all kinds of stuff, obviously masks. We've got lots of callers on, so don't call now. We've got plenty of calls to take. We're going to start with Kathy in a minute, but Jerry, you have some more information about masks. That sort of is the topic of the hour in this ongoing saga of COVID-19.
Well, they've now said everybody should be covering their face when in public. It's optional, but it's a good idea. And here's the reason. We've all had that embarrassing experience of talking to somebody and we're speaking emphatically and we see spit spray out of our mouth.
Or their mouth.
Or their mouth, yeah.
and we apologize.
That's right. And humans do this. I got to tell you, you know, when we were kids, we always say it, don't spray it.
Right.
And, but it is one of those things, it just goes with speech. But if you can see those particles, those are not micro droplets. Those are big droplets.
Big droplets.
We all spray micro droplets, little tiny droplets, with our normal speech. If we are part of that 50% of the COVID positive people, 50% of the people that are positive for the virus don't know it. They think they're healthy. They feel great. So if you're part of that 50%, you are spraying micro droplets that are infective towards other people when you talk. And so when you put a face covering, even if it's just a bandana or a scarf or anything you wrap across your nose and mouth, you are at least stopping your micro droplets as you speak. So you're not spraying things you can't see towards other people. And that is a good thing. That's part of our social distancing. It also will stop other people's micro droplets from getting through to you. And so, you know, your eyes are still open, so you might want to wear glasses or sunglasses, but at least that provides some modest degree of protection. No, it is not antimicrobial. No, it is not antiviral, but it stops the droplets. And that is useful. Not perfect, but better than nothing.
Right.
So anything you can cover your face with when you're out is good. If, you know, better would be surgical masks. Better than that would be N95s. But there just aren't enough of them around, and we're trying to keep them for people at highest risk right now.
And we do have masks for our staff and our patients, and we even give our patients, when they come in, extra masks for their personal family members.
Right, but please do not ask for them for your kids that are grown and gone. We don't have enough. We were able to get 6,000, okay? That will handle 2 months at the clinic with the patients that come in and their immediate in-the-house family.
Right.
If we start giving them to more than that, we will run out, and
that's
we have
right.
to shut down the clinic.
I
this
personally,
is not good.
I personally will consider a bribe. No, kidding.
You consider it.
It's not even in this situation, not even good humor. Bottom line, though, is we have them available for our patients.
We have some available. But when they're gone, they're gone.
That's right.
All right. And we really don't want to have to shut down the clinic for lack of masks, but we have to have masks to run. That's just all there is to it. But we were fortunate. We got a supply in from Taiwan. Okay.
Good.
And Taiwan was able to get us 6,000 masks. Interestingly, 3M Corporation is making 10 million masks a week, but is shipping most of them to Europe. So they're going to Germany and Italy and France, not to the United States.
Are we happy about that?
President Trump was really pissy about it yesterday and said he will invoke the National Defense Act if necessary to make 3M keep America's masks in America.
Yeah.
You know, the French won't let the Italians or the Germans have them. The Germans won't let the Italians or the French have theirs. Okay. Nobody's given them to poor Italy, except, interestingly, Russia and China are helping Italy. But America's masks have been going to Italy, France, and Germany, not staying home in America where we need them, which is why we couldn't get ours from 3M that is making 10 million a week. We had to buy ours from Taiwan. I'm really pissy about it. Anyway.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Do you believe what China is telling us?
No. No. I don't believe any politician, but certainly not a communist dictator. Really?
It's just a question.
Let me see. They put 1 million Muslims in concentration camps that they call educational facilities to teach them a trade, right? So they lock up 1 million Muslims. They force women to have abortions against their will if they get pregnant after they had their one child. They disappear.
They still do that?
Yeah, you're allowed to have 2 children if you apply in advance to the government and get a certificate that you can have now a second child. Okay. But it's all up to the government whether or not you get a child. And if you get pregnant without government permission, they will force you to have an abortion against your will. They will disappear you. If you say anything the government doesn't want you to say online, you can just disappear. No one will ever see you again. But so we know they'll do those things, but would they lie to us?
Well, I've heard some stories. I don't know if you're comfortable sharing them. Maybe we shouldn't. But regarding the number of problems and cases that they're still having, yeah, that they're telling us.
There are seven in Wuhan, in that one city. There are seven crematoriums.
In Wuhan alone?
Seven crematoriums. And those crematoriums are now, because on, I think it's April 4th, I think it's today, in fact, is their Memorial for the Dead Day. And this is the day that people inter the ashes of their relatives. So your mother, your father, your brother, somebody dies. This is the day. So you keep the urn in the house until today, and then you go inter it in the graveyard.
So you just do that once a year?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a big day for that.
Okay.
And so, but as a result of the Wuhan virus, each of the seven crematoriums were passing out 500 urns a day. That's 3,500 urns per day total being passed out, which is more than the Chinese are admitting died from the virus in the whole country. And they passed them out for about 10 days. So I make that Wuhan alone probably suffered in the neighborhood of 40,000 deaths, more than 10 times the official figure for the whole country.
My goodness.
So, yeah, that's do I think they lie? Oops. Absolutely. Where did all those dead corpses come from?
Okay. All right. Wow. This is amazing. This is amazing. Okay. We will take a break, and when we come back, oh, dear Kathy, I'm telling you, here we go. Kathy was on hold during the last program.
And she dropped off again?
No, she's there? Still there.
Well, let's talk to her.
We'll talk with her, and then we're going to talk with Dr. Michael Gilbert. So, Michael, I know you're on hold, you're listening. Forgive me. Thank you for calling in, but we just have to talk to Kathy from Burien. She's got a question. She's been very patient. And don't go far. We'll be right back.
Leading Edge Medicine. Do you have a question? Well, you can call now at 1-888-312-5757 and tell your friends to listen, too. That's 1-888-312-5757.
There are certainly a lot of benefits for being a patient at Longevity. Strength, endurance, energy, they're all increased. And I feel absolutely great. I'm in my mid-70s now, and I see no end in sight. Thank you, Longevity.
What a drag it is getting old. Kids are different today. I hear every mother say, mother needs something today to calm her down.
Welcome back, everyone. Pete Talbot here. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. It is a drag to get old, like the Rolling Stones sang. It is a drag. That, of course, is what Longevity Medical Clinic is all about. Should be our theme song, but I will never allow that to be the case. I can't stand the Stones. Anyway, that's just me. That's just me.
Okay.
I never quite understood how a bunch of drug addicts could become quite so popular. But that is good for them. Happy for them. All right. Kathy in Burien, welcome to the show. And thank you for your patience. You must be a very godly woman because you have lots of patience, Kathy. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. How can we help you?
My husband has high C-reactive protein. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering what that meant and if there's further testing he can do to find out why it's so high.
Yes and yes. It is a bad thing, and yes, there is further testing he can do. How high?
It's 4.55.
So, okay. So not outrageous.
Go ahead. 0 to 3 is normal. Mm-hmm.
Precisely.
3.00.
Yeah. And I like it less than one, actually.
Okay.
When you've got a normal value of 1 to 3, this is a high sensitive complement reactive protein. It's an inflammatory marker, and it says how much inflammation is in your generalized system. It doesn't tell us where the inflammation is, but when it's down in the range of 3 or 4 or maybe even up to 5, it's usually cardiovascular tree. So we're looking at blood vessels, heart mostly, when we get in that range. Now, when you see it up around 12, 15, 20, now you're looking at a major joint probably that's inflamed. So people with arthritis that, you know, breaking down their hips and knees will often carry a much, much higher C-reactive protein. But these mild inflammations are basically looking at cardiovascular. So we want to see what's going on. You know, I want to make sure that his lipids, his cholesterols and so on are close to ideal. I want to look at his homocysteine. Homocysteine is a compound that correlates with both cognitive decline and cardiovascular disease. So elevated homocysteine is pro-inflammatory. You want to make sure his sugars and his insulins are down where they belong, because raising those will also result in inflammation. Just with aging, sometimes you'll get rising inflammation, and that's due to the buildup of senescent cells in your body.
Did it have anything to do with his liver?
It could, sure. But again, usually if he's got an inflammatory process, if he's got a hepatitis and so on, it'll usually run significantly higher than 4. But yes, a very, very mild inflammatory process in the liver could give you a C-reactive protein of 4. So when you do a number and you're in that range, now you need to start saying why. This is telling you there is some inflammation in his system. Now we need to find out why he's inflamed and what we can do about it. Does that help?
Okay. His A1C is 5.4.
That's not bad. Not great. I like it 5.2 and below, but 5.4 is okay.
My cholesterol's down.
And his cholesterol's down.
Good. Down to what?
150.
Oh, very nice. Okay, yeah, 150. Yeah. 150 to 180 is a good, healthy place. And if you've had heart attacks, I like it down closer to 125. Sure.
I just got mine down to 136.
Very good.
Yeah. So
congratulations.
Yeah, and he hasn't had a heart attack.
Okay. Yeah, so if he's running 150, that's a good range. You know, that's a nice, stable range. So
and
I accept.
His glucose is 112.
That's a fasting glucose, I presume?
Yes.
Yeah, that's higher than I want it to be. But if his A1C is 5.4, that tells me that even though his fasting, his early morning sugar is higher than I want, he's bringing it down during the day. So that's a positive spin. But generally, I'd like that fasting sugar down in the 80s in the morning, 70s
and
80s.
Oh, wow, that low?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So what other tests can he do?
Well, again, you need to have somebody to, you know, to kind of go over. You're looking at his lipids. That sounds pretty good. His sugars are not too bad. You know, you do want to take a look and make sure his liver enzymes are all where they belong. You want to look for arthritic changes, obviously, degenerative joint disease. And, you know, but sometimes it's just the senescence of aging. We build up senescent cells as we age, and those senescent cells are pro-inflammatory. And how old is he?
He's almost 70.
Okay. So he's in his late 60s, so he probably doesn't have a real heavy senescent load. It usually starts peaking when you get over 70 and 80s, you just get in deep trouble with them. But yeah, we just have to be looking for any and every cause for inflammation, including joint disease, injuries, muscle strains. You know, if he goes out, for instance, and I don't know that he's just taking up an exercise program, but somebody that just takes up new exercise and goes out and jogs and uses muscles that are not used to be used, just that stress on those muscles will cause an inflammatory process for a while that can take several days to a week to cool off. So there's a wide variety of things can trigger that degree of inflammation.
Okay. So, and we do want to come into your clinic and do the free analysis and
Good.
Check on things. So
sounds good to me. We'll be happy to have you.
Gonna call and make an appointment.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Kathy.
That's one thing, Kathy, that I haven't reminded people of. When you go and sign up for your free health analysis appointment, the calendar for, let's say, the Kirkland Clinic will come up on the screen. Well, if you're coming in as a husband and wife team, grab two appointments that are close together. Sometimes they're back-to-back even. So that's a smart thing to do is, you know, a lot of couples come in together. Let's put it that way.
Sure.
Smart thing to do. And as I mentioned at the top of the hour, if you come in for your free health analysis appointment this month, the month of April, we are offering a free gift card worth $100 toward longevity supplements. Smart thing to do. Thanks, Kathy. And for you and everybody else, you can make your appointment by going very simply to lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. Hope you can do that. Or if you don't have online access, most do, but if you don't, you can call us on Monday.
That old-fashioned telephone.
The old-fashioned telephone, actually talk to a live body. 866-86-YOUNG.
Okay. Michael is waiting now.
Dr. Michael Gilbert, thank you for your patience, sir. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. It is always such a pleasure to join you for a few minutes.
Well, yeah, we appreciate it. So how are things?
One quick thing.
Yes.
In support of Jerry's excellent advice on masks, he's quite right in mentioning eye transmission. And although the data has been a little bit mixed, still we know that that eye infections can be a part of the COVID experience, and it can both it can be measured in tears and can be transmitted through reception of the virus into the tear film. So
absolutely.
When you're going to the grocery store and putting on the masks, as you just described so well, put on some sunglasses or some protective glass workbench type safety shield or something. You know, it can be as simple as just some Maui Jims or something like that. But something so that if there is some micro spray in the grocery store as you're walking by someone up the aisle, it doesn't get into your eyes.
Absolutely important.
So,
that's a very good point.
You know, we, along with most clinics, and certainly I know yours, we're restricting our patients to just those people who must be seen. But that's a fair amount in ophthalmology: infections, scratches, trauma, eye pain, which can come from a number of different things, red eyes, certainly flashes, floaters, which can be a first sign of a retinal detachment. So all of those are urgent, and we're seeing those every day, including weekends if it's an emergency. But one of the things that has grown so much in our practice, and I think many, especially with the current environment, is telemedicine. And I think because we've used this term for a long time, we underthink how it has evolved, because most of us are all carrying around fairly sophisticated computerized two-way video cameras in our pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And it has amazed me how effective they can be in doing an eye exam. I have patients, you know, hold it up to their eye, pull down their lid, look up, look down, and I can get a pretty good sense of many things. So this week I've done telemedicine exams just using video cameras and web cameras on eye infections, shingles, people who thought they had infections when it was just really their dry eyes. People who thought it might be COVID. Instead, it was staring at the computer. Patients who had inflammations versus infections in their eyelids. So it turns out there's quite a bit we can do by telemedicine. And I know you guys have been doing telemedicine for a long time.
Yes, we have. Well, you know, we've got a lot of sunbirds, people that are up here in the summer, and then the winter they head down south to the warmer climes. And, you know, we don't want to make them drive back every 3 months to see us in person.
Right.
So, yeah, so we do remote visits, and it works.
Been doing that for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the nice part of that remote visit is you can see the doctor, they can see you. The powerful part for me is the quality of the imaging allows me to do a an eye exam, everything short of the microscope and actually being able to measure the pressure, take a look at the retina. So, you know, of course, there are still many people who we just need to see. But we can save a lot of people a drive by just making a two-way video call and taking a look at the eye using technology.
How about as simple as FaceTime? Do you ever use that at the clinic?
You know, absolutely. You can use, fortunately, now, because of the relaxation of HIPAA, many doctors are using FaceTime and WhatsApp and Skype and such like. However, to make it so very easy for our patients, we offer a HIPAA-compliant, which is to say a much more secure connection, that we just email and text to the patient so that they don't have to install anything. There's nothing that's stored on there. It's a web-based application, completely secure, HIPAA-compliant, and they don't have to figure out any technology. All they have to do is press the link, whether it's on their desktop webcam or on their cell phone, and it connects to my virtual waiting room. And then when I'm done with the patient before them, I just engage that connection and we check out the video link, and I get a chance to see them and sometimes their lovely homes, and we can do an eye exam live and secure. But yes, indeed, the feds have allowed telehealth to go ahead using FaceTime and Skype and other technologies, at least during the COVID crisis.
Now, they can call you for one of these appointments, but can they use your website to make an appointment?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
So the website, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if they have an urgent concern, give a call. But if it's something that they just want to get checked out within the next 24, 48 hours, those appointments can be made through our website, and it will be linked to it'll be flagged as a video appointment. And you don't have to worry about having the right software, because it connects to a website, whether it's on your cell phone or your desktop.
Sounds great.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay.
Our website is Northwest Vision, nwvision.com.
nwvision.com. And your number is 425-450-2020. So that's 425-450-2020. Well, there we go. Hey, Michael, thank you. Glad you called in. We're just trying to keep everybody updated. I was trying to get even our dentist, Dr. Brian McKay, to call in, but he is not available today. He's in a conference or something. I'm not exactly sure. But Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute.
I know you mentioned he might be skiing at Sun Valley. And yeah. I have some friends at Sun Valley, and I was scheduled to go over and ski with them just a couple of weeks ago. Do you know that is one of the most densely affected counties in the country for COVID?
Yes, because all the folks from the high-risk areas went there to go ski and shared it.
Thought they would get away, and instead what they did is imported and actually showed up in the hospital and took out much of the medical care in the county. Really interesting. Thank you again so much. Good to talk to you both. Great program as always.
Thanks a lot, Michael. And again, that's Dr. Michael Gilbert, our resident ophthalmologist from Northwest Vision Institute. Give him a call. If you need his services, there's a lot of creative ways you can get help at 425-450-2020. We'll go to a break right now, and we'll come back. First up, Alan from Federal Way. He's got a question or two. And then Rich from Toledo. And your call, too. We still have another hour and 10 minutes to go here on 570 KVI. So call us at 1-888-312-5757 if you have a question for the one and only Dr. Jerry Mixon. 1-888-312-5757.
If you or someone you love is struggling with memory issues, find out about Longevity Memory. Call Longevity right now to schedule your memory consultation evaluation at 425-654-0258. That's 425-654-0258.
I, too, am a clinic member, and what really started me going to the clinic was I'm not feeling so hot. I will budget for the rest of my life to be in your clinic. Thank you so much for everything.
Ooh, you come on like a dream. Peaches and cream, lips like strawberry wine. You're 16. You're beautiful and you're
jailbait.
All right.
I'm sorry. When I was 16, I could sing about her being 16.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, once you're a grown up, you don't dare sing about beautiful 16-year-olds anymore.
Boy, you do not. It's
just not allowed in our society anymore.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Jerry Mixon, and I'm Pete Talbot. This is Leading Edge Medicine. And, boy, how critical is it to be on the leading edge? You really, really want to be on the leading edge.
Yes, except in naming your children.
Yes, tell
us about it. I just saw a little blurb. In India, a couple had a set of twins. And so they named them Corona and COVID.
There are crazy people wherever
you
go.
I mean, really, you're going to send these kids through life, Corona and COVID. Oh, my goodness. All right.
Amazing. All right, Alan. In Federal Way. Alan, welcome to the program.
Hello, Alan.
Howdy, howdy. Well, astaxanthin, how does it compare with resveratrol as an antioxidant or whatever?
They're both potent antioxidants. And astaxanthin has some established thing. Let me see if I can clarify this. There are things we believe they do, and there are things we know they do. There are things that we have tested to see that they do, okay? But we haven't tested them all on the same stuff. So the astaxanthin we use because there are actually several studies that show that it improves muscle strength and density in older people. So older people that are losing muscle mass and losing strength, the astaxanthin helps to improve their muscle function. It also has been shown for many, many years to have cosmetic benefits. It makes skin much more attractive and pliable and smoother and elastic. So it for, you know, women have used it for some time for cosmesis. And of course, men are just a bit as vain as women. We just get away with more. But it makes your skin more attractive, and it makes your muscles stronger. So that's why we use that one. They are both potent antioxidants. They are both free radical scavengers. They are both polyphenols. But the resveratrol has specifically been studied and shown to inhibit the formation of senescent cells. And that is a very important thing for us. It has also been shown specifically to improve cognitive function in older men, although there are some early studies showing astaxanthin may also do that. But the senescent cells are a big coming thing that I think are very important and are probably going to be key to the next phase of, quote, anti-aging therapies. I think the abolishing senescent cells is going to be a critical factor for extending human lifespan and health span. So I use a lot of resveratrol primarily to inhibit my formation of senescent cells.
How much do you take a day?
At least 1,000 milligrams a day.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
So we have a 350 milligram capsule, and I take three of those a day, two in the morning, one at night. So, but, you know, there's every cell in your body is designed to live a specific period of time, and some live longer than others. Your gut, for instance, the lining of your gut is replaced about every 30 hours. Your skin lasts about 2 to 3 weeks, depending on where on your skin it is. Your muscle will last for several months. Your bones will last even longer. Your brain cells last for a year or 18 months before they need to be replaced. Every cell lives out its lifespan. It is then supposed to undergo what we call apoptosis. It commits suicide. It dies. It gets replaced by a new cell that then carries on the same function for whatever its lifetime is. Some cells get the end of their lifetime, and they won't die. They undergo a morphologic change in which they start putting out anti-growth, anti-survival factors, and anti-replacement. And they become pro-inflammatory. They start increasing inflammation. But one active senescent cell in your body will inhibit the healing and repair of 12 to 15,000 healthy cells. And so as we age and we build up our supply of senescent cells, we are healing and repairing more and more slowly. And there reaches a point at which those peptides and enzymes, those cytokines produced by the senescent cells, actually start inducing the formation of new senescent cells, which carry the process on and cause even more senescent cells. Somewhere, usually in our late 70s to early 80s, humans will reach a point at which their senescent cell load is so high that they're effectively inhibiting further growth and repair of their entire body. And that's when they go down that steep slope and they head downhill and die quickly. And so we have found in experimental animals, by wiping out the senescent cell load, we can extend their health span and lifespan by up to 36%.
And I've got to wrap this up here, Alan, by saying you are going to be hearing a lot more about this in the weeks and months to come at Longevity Medical Clinic. And I dare say a lot more. Very exciting. So keep listening every Saturday. We have another hour to go here, though. We have a hard break. We have to do a station ID. The law says we do. We'll do that now, and we'll be back very quickly after the top of the hour ID. You want to make a free health analysis appointment? Hey, we're offering a $100 gift card for longevity supplements if you have your free health analysis appointment in April. Make the appointment at lmclinic.com.
The preceding program was paid for by the advertiser and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of KVI management and staff.
KVI Seattle. Tune in and tune up. From hermeneutical to pharmaceutical, it's KVI Want to Know Weekends. Talk Radio 570.